It's finally that day of the year. The day where stores are sold out of fireworks, beaches are swarmed with families, and everyone breaks out their red, white, and blue clothes for the 4th of July. Now, the meaning and celebration of Independence Day has definitely changed over the years. This day started as a commemoration of the Declaration of Independence. It is now celebrated as grounds for a good old family barbecue. No matter how you spend this holiday, it's important to take a step back and realize what you're actually celebrating. So stick with me while we listen to two iconic historical speeches given by former President Ronald Reagan and Martin Luther King Jr. and their feelings of independence on this 4th of July.
The God-given promise that all are equal.
A date which will live in infamy.
Because I have a dream.
It is a culture of lack of impunity.
Together we will determine the course of America.
Hi, I am Ashley Crosby, and I am a politically minded gal who believes that words matter. And none matter more than those spoken or used by the individuals we elect to a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So, in this podcast, I strive to take an unbiased approach to examine the meaning of the words used by modern day and historical political influencers. So when it is our turn to vote, to govern, and to lead, we are better educated and informed than the generations before us who have left us with a mess. Subscribe and join me on this journey to better understand the impact the words of our leaders have on our future and what we can do about it. Let's jump into listening to a small chunk of Reagan's address to the nation on July 4th, 1986, where he describes the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
My remarks tonight will be brief, but it's worth remembering that all the celebration of this day is rooted in history. It's recorded that shortly after the Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia, celebrations took place throughout the land, and many of the former colonists, they were just starting to call themselves Americans, set off cannons and marched in fife and drum parades. What a contrast with the sober scene that has taken place a short time earlier in Independence Hall. 56 men came forward to sign the parchment. It was noted at the time that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors. And that was more than rhetoric. Each of those men knew the penalty for high treason to the crown. We must all hang together, Benjamin Franklin said, or assuredly we will all hang separately. And John Hancock, it is said, wrote his signature in large script so King George could see it without his spectacles. They were brave. They stayed brave through all the bloodshed of the coming years. Their courage created a nation built on a universal claim to human dignity, on the proposition that every man, woman, and child had a right to a future of freedom. For just a moment, let us listen to the words again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In this beginning portion of President Reagan's overall 20-minute address to the American people, he reminds them of the actual history of the 4th of July. Him saying that many of the former colonists were just starting to call themselves Americans really shows the origins of our country's immense patriotism and how these people who fought for our country's freedom were so proud and relieved to finally be able to call themselves Americans. Reagan also emphasizes the bravery of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, because we technically still belong to Britain, and signing a paper that says F you to the king would have been punishable by death for treason. But we're an independent nation now because of their bravery to sign and send that declaration, regardless of the possible consequences. Later on in his address, President Reagan states,
"My fellow Americans, it falls to us to keep faith with them and all the great Americans of our past. Believe me, if there's one impression I carry with me after the privilege of holding for 5.5 years the office held by Adams, Jefferson, and Lincoln, it is this, that the things that unite us, America's past of which we're so proud, our hopes and aspirations for the future of the world and this much-loved country, these things far outweigh what little divides us." And so tonight, we reaffirm that Jew and Gentile, we are one nation under God. The black and white, we are one nation indivisible. That Republican and Democrat, we are all Americans.
Reagan begins this part of his speech by saying, "It falls to us to keep faith with them." The them he is referring to is the Founding Fathers. He continues by explaining that the two vital things that hold the American people together are our proud history and our hopes for the future. He emphasizes that this patriotism holds true regardless of religion, race, or political party. Now let's take a trip a bit further back in history and listen to a part of Martin Luther King Jr.'s The American Dream speech, given on August 28, 1963.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds, can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men. It doesn't say all white men, but it says all men, which includes black men. It doesn't say all Gentiles, but it says all men, which includes Jews. Doesn't say all Protestants, but it says all men, which includes Catholics. That is something else that we notice in this dream, which is one of the things that distinguishes democracy and our form of government with other totalitarian systems. It says that there are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to discover where they came from, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity. They are God-given.
While this speech wasn't given on July 4th, Martin Luther King Jr. speaks a lot about our independence. The dream he is referring to is the dream of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness written in the Declaration. He emphasizes that this dream was created for everyone living in the U.S., no matter your race or religious identity. And these words were very important to hear at the time. This speech was given not even a decade after the Civil Rights Movement, and just around 20 years after the end of the Holocaust. So it was inspiring for people around America to hear that the dream created by our Founding Fathers was also created for them. I think that this message is really important to hear now. With the amount of polarization and hatred for one another in our country, we have to remember that the aspiration of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was intended for every person living here. So while you're enjoying the fireworks and barbecue today, take a minute to reflect on that dream and how it relates to you, your neighbor, and our country today. Thank you for joining me on this episode. Please make sure to like and subscribe to stay updated with the Politically Minded Gal.